All right, ladies, buckle up.
It's showtime. It's showtime.
It's showtime.
It's showtime.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Matinee Talk. I am one of your hosts, Johnny Lightfoot, with me as always,
Julian Owens.
All right, today we're in our 22nd episode. We're starting to get into the 20s now. We're legal.
We're very legal.
Today we have an episode where first we're going to get into the news, but our main topic will, of course, be Detective Pikachu opening this weekend. Speaking of this weekend's openings, Julian, what do we got at the box office?
So this weekend, it looks to no surprise on who is the top five in the box office. So first, of course, it's still Endgame with $63 million it came in with this weekend, which is a drop off of 57%. For it to be the third weekend to finally drop 57% is pretty dope. And its total domestic is 723, which I think at this point, it's about right over Black Panther, or is it like right under Black Panther? One of the two.
Yeah, it's right near there.
Then we have who just came into this weekend was Pokemon Detective Pikachu with $54 million. And then we also had a new movie with The Hustle, which is with Melissa McCartney and Anne Hathaway, with $13 million. Then right under that, we had The Intruder, which got $7 million with a total gross of $21 million. And last but not least, we have Longshot. Its weekend gross was $6 million with a total gross of $19.8 million.
Very cool. So also with that, I think Detective Pikachu... best opening for a video game movie?
I believe so. I think it is the best video game movie opening weekend. Let me double check that. Yes, it is. So, I mean, that's pretty interesting. I mean, that's pretty exciting. I'm like, okay. It's pretty cool.
All right. And getting into some news just breaking yesterday. Rami Malek is in talks to join Denzel Washington in Warner Brothers' new crime thriller, Little Things, which will be written and directed by John Lee Hancock, who did The Highwaymen, which came out on Netflix a while back.
Like a month or two ago.
Yeah. It was okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it was long. I understand they like tried to stick to the realism, but there just wasn't a lot going on. But essentially, it'll be Denzel's character is a burnt-out cop, and he has to team up with Rami Malek's character, who's a crack detective from the LA Sheriff's Department, to catch a serial killer. So, I mean, nothing crazy.
Nothing crazy.
But you got two good actors in there, so.
A very well-known veteran with somebody who's up and coming in the film industry. It's going to be pretty interesting. I love both of them as actors, so it's going to be pretty interesting to see them in a crime drama. And when does it come out again?
Like, no release now, right? It's just casting.
So it doesn't come out for probably another year or so. So I'm going to be interested. I'm going to put a pin in that one. That's probably going to be another movie I'm going to watch in 2020. Then for sure, if you want to, we can talk about Jojo Rabbit real quick and then Disney's release schedule later as well.
Yeah, so Jojo Rabbit.
So Jojo Rabbit is basically an up-and-coming dark comedy drama directed and written by Taika Waititi, who also directed Thor Ragnarok. Basically, this film is going to star Thomasin McKenzie, Scarlett Johansson, Sam Rockwell, Stephen Merchant, and Rebel Wilson. It will be released by Fox Searchlight. And basically, the synopsis is during World War II, there's basically a single mother and a girl that's going through things, and now her brother, and her mom. And the brother basically is aided by his imaginary friend who happens to be Adolf Hitler, and so he basically goes through patriotism and things of that nature, and the person who will be voicing Adolf Hitler will be Taika Waititi. They officially got a release date for it on October 18th of this year. Sounds interesting, I want to put it that way. Taika Waititi always just makes interesting films all around, no matter what, so this one just a little off the wall, I would put it. So it's gonna be interesting to see. He does really well with dark comedy films. It's just making one about an imaginary Adolf Hitler. It's gonna be a little interesting. So I don't know. I'm waiting to see what it will be about and what people will say about it. But as of now, it has piqued my interest. I really am piqued with it.
No, I really like the date because that has me feeling like it could be a Fantastic Fest film. So I'd be stoked for that.
It could be. You're absolutely right. Okay. All right. Cool. And then what other news that we got out there, Jordan?
So, not really news, but Cannes Film Festival is opening today. Some notable films, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is my most anticipated of the year, the new Quentin film. The Dead Don't Die from Jim Jarmusch.
Yep.
That one I'll be seeing here in like 2.5 weeks at Overlook Film Festival. Hidden Life by Terrence Malick. And then Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, speaking of which, are you going to see the advanced screening of it for Alamo on the 29th, I think it is?
Probably not, because I'm leaving the next day for New Orleans.
Oh, that is absolutely right. We'll talk about that in the next episode. But besides the point, yeah, and then I know we didn't really talk about it, but Disney, about a week and a half ago, released their schedule for the next 8 years? Yeah, until 2027. So one thing that I saw on there is that we're going to have 2 MCU movies coming out next year. Then we're going to have 3 that comes out in 2021. And then we're going to have 3 in 2022. But the head scratcher here is, I don't know if you saw, Johnny, but on the Disney's release schedule, we're getting 5, and I repeat, 5 Avatar films. They pushed the second one all the way from December of 2020 to December of 2021. Then the next one, I believe, doesn't come out till 2023, 2025, and then 2027.
Yeah, I know they pushed it, and the big reason is they're essentially wanting to alternate between Star Wars and Avatar.
God awful.
So,
but the thing is on that note, I thought they said they're taking a break with Star Wars. I thought that was the deal after we saw Solo. They said, Kathleen Kennedy said that they were going to take a break. Literally only a year break, and we're getting another trilogy?
2.
So the sequel for... Oh, yeah, you're right. It comes out in 2022. So it's just... It's weird because it's like in 2019, we're having the end of this 9-episode saga, right? Then we're getting a trilogy in 2022, 24, and 26. It's... That's not taking a break. That's basically saying...
I mean, for Disney, kind of is.
Like how they're going to say MCU is taking a break. Really? MCU is taking a break?
To them, this is a break.
8 months? Really? 8 months is a break.
Not even technically that, because Spider-Man's coming out.
Well, no, I'm saying after Spider-Man Far From Home, there's another film that's coming out in February. So August, September, October, November, December, January, February. Yeah, 7 months. And we're getting another Marvel movie? Bro, like, what do y'all call breaks? I don't understand. Is a break 6 months? Is a break a year? What is this? So, I don't know. I'm irritated at the fact that we're getting another Star Wars trilogy literally 3 years later. But that's besides
the point. To put it in perspective, because I'm definitely much more of a Star Wars fan than Marvel.
Yes.
So, for me, 3 years is fine. Like, honestly, they could take 3-year break from Marvel before a 3-year break from Star Wars, and I'd be happy.
Okay, that's fair. I guess I feel like I have Star Wars fatigue just a little bit because we've had back-to-back-to-back Star Wars films for the last, since 2015, and I'm just worried that they're going to try to rush so much Star Wars content down our throats, it's going to just be off the wall.
I mean, to put it in perspective, we've only had, let's see now, 4 Star Wars films. Yes, yeah. 4 Star Wars films in the last decade, and we've had 22 Marvel films.
Fair.
So that's fair. How I feel.
Fair.
I feel that way towards Marvel. Okay. I feel like it's a chore.
It's getting to that point. I was saying this on the YouTube channel. I was saying with Star Wars, I'm just fatigued at the fact that we're still on this Skywalker saga. I feel like we need to get out of it.
Like, now, I feel like right after I saw Endgame, I was already getting messages, like, trying to peer pressure me into, like, you better hurry up and buy your Spider-Man tickets. You just saw Endgame. You better get your Spider-Man tickets. And you know what I did? I gave them the bird. I said I'll get my Spider-Man tickets when I'm damn ready.
So I was just gonna say that. My thing is now where I'm at with
Marvel. It's like right after Captain Marvel, they were like, "Get your Endgame
tickets." So I'm with you on that. I'm gonna be selective how I'm gonna be watching the new MCU films. I think that's what I'm gonna be doing because I agree. Watching this 22 movie arc was really good. I guess good being the emphasis. I'm at a point now where I'm probably going to be selective on superhero films.
To be honest, outside of Spider-Man, I don't really care that much about who's left in the Marvel Universe. Thor, kind of, just mostly due to the way they've done him the last few... Well, but then not so much
in Endgame.
But the way they were going with him, I really like Thor, but, I mean...
They changed his direction, yeah.
I was always Team Iron Man, and then... to a certain extent, Cap, but...
So now, about to say Iron Man and Cap are both gone. So the only people who I somewhat care for is Spider-Man, Black Panther. Maybe I'll see another Guardians film, but the thing is
Guardians 2 wasn't great.
No, that's what I was going to say. Guardians 2 wasn't great, and then Guardians 3 looks like it's going to be almost like a rom-com because Quill is going to be trying to find Gamora while Adam Warlock decides he's going to be awaking. Ooh, okay. So, I agree. I'm just, hopefully, like I said, when y'all say y'all gonna take a break, I want my X-Men, and then I'll go from there. But, no, I do not mean Dark Phoenix X-Men. That can go sit in the dumps of fire where it is. But, besides the point, yeah. Just wanted to say that little rant real quick.
All right. Now that we're through most of the news, we'll move on to our main topic. Look, topic. Sounds like a Pokemon. <It's the> Pokemon. So, anyways, so, Pokemon. It's... all over the place, and you know, if you would have asked me even 10 years ago, would Pokemon be like popular again?
I would have told you no.
And that's the thing, like, I was in middle school when Pokemon was like first being big in the States in like 1999, so 20 years ago. I was like, yeah, it was probably 21 years ago, something like that, because I had like the original blue Game Boy game, and then my best friend, he had red, and then ever since then, for like the first couple generations, we each got the other one so that we could trade and everything. Yep. And then by the time we were in high school, it was like, nah, no more cards, no more Game Boy,
which is crazy enough, right? So showing my age here. So, Pokemon first aired in 99. I was 5 at the time. I was in kindergarten, and I remember how excited I was when, you know, Valentine's Day, they gave you the little Pokemon cards, and I always got the Pikachu or the Charmander little, like, Valentine cards, too, from whatever, and you got a candy with it. I remember those moments, and I've loved Pokemon since then. I remember on Game Boy Color, unfortunately, I didn't get the original ones because my mom didn't give me the Game Boy Color. So the original Game Boy. So I never played like Red and Blue until 2001, 2002, because I had Silver. I know that for sure. I had Silver. Then I bought Yellow after that, which was a disaster if you never knew how to play with Pikachu. And then I bought every single game until Diamond and Pearl, which was in 2010, 11, or 2009, one of the two. And after that, I would have told you at that moment, Pokemon probably would have been dead. Because the series went off its rails. The first three movies were good, and then after that, the movies just got terrible, in my opinion. So for me, if you would have told me 10 years ago that when Pokemon did its 20th anniversary, that it had a resurgence, I would have told you that's funny. Nice try, because Pokemon has, in my opinion, almost died off. Now we're looking back at it when the 20th anniversary marked about a year ago, I think.
Yeah, it was 2 years ago.
2 years ago in 2017.
Yeah, it was 97, because I would have been in 6th grade, 7th grade. Because, yeah, that was also, the cards didn't come out until like 98, 99.
And the video games didn't come out until then.
No, so, the Game Boy ones were out in like 97.
No, you're right, it was in 97, you're right. And so that's why I was like, at that point, I would have told you that's funny. But when the new game came out for Pokemon Sun and Moon in 2016, actually, and then they started showing you and revamping all the games, all the movies and things like that, it was just a huge resurgence for Pokemon.
Well, even 2016 with Pokemon Go, It seemed like everybody was playing Pokemon Go, and apparently there's still a lot of people playing Pokemon Go.
Guilty pleasure, I'm one of those people, unfortunately.
But yeah, it was crazy because I was there during like the biggest hype phase, right?
Yeah.
In like red and blue, and then the debut of the cards. And the cards were like, that was the thing. Like, that was where your money went if you had any money from birthday allowance. And I had like the original like base set, and then I remember like Fossil came out. And that's what we do on the weekends. We'd go spend our money on Pokemon cards. We'd trade. And then actually at Lakeline Mall, they used to do tournaments.
Tournaments, yeah.
And you could trade with people. You'd battle tournaments. And it was, like, really fun. And then I got into high school, did a little bit during freshman year. And then I was like, oh, no, now I'm dating. Done. Pokemon is not cool. Can't do that. And so, like, went away for a while. And then I think I was, like, a sophomore in college. And they re-released Red and Blue, but it was Red and Green for Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, Fire Red and Leaf Green, yeah.
And then so I was like, oh, a little nostalgia. So I like bought a Game Boy Advance SP and just like played it in my college apartment. And I was like, oh, this is nice. Like playing the old game, just redone. And then, yeah, and then now it's back. I played X and Y. That was probably like 2013, 2014.
Yeah.
That was the last one I played. But I do have Let's Go Pikachu. So, on my Switch.
I was just about to say, when I came back to Pokemon, because unfortunately I didn't get into the trading card games, but my cousin did. He bought all the starter packs and the fossil packs when he first came out. He would take us to Toys R Us in Beaumont. That's where our stuff is. Rest in peace, Toys R Us. We would go there and do all the card battling and things like that. And I remember my cousin would trade in before his battles and then battle and win cards and stuff like that. It was pretty awesome. And then, like I said, my grandmother and my aunts used to take us to go see all the Pokemon movies. And like I said, after Black and White, I was on like a 4 or 5 year hiatus. And then when Pokemon Sun and Moon came out, I bought that. And then when I realized they're going to do a patch in 2017 where you can play all the games that were on Nintendo DS back on there, I bought Red X and Y. Then I have Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, not Pikachu, and I've been playing it ever since, and unfortunately, it looks like Pokemon's got my money back because I'm definitely going to buy one of Sword or Shield by the end of the year this year. It is what it is, but I would definitely agree that Pokemon has hit this huge resurgence from wherever it was about 4 or 5, like it's almost 8 years ago, and it's interesting to see how Pokemon basically took itself and went back to its roots to say, hey, this is what we're about.
And what's crazy is I wonder what it's like, because I see people on YouTube, because I think I told you the other day, like randomly on my YouTube feed, and I don't know if it was because I was like browsing like Detective Pikachu reviews or what, but all of a sudden I got like a recommended video for you, and it was just a guy like unopening old packs of Pokemon cards.
Really?
Like that's all the video was, and I wonder if it was like part. What is that, ESMR or whatever?
Yeah. You know,
where people just go like...
Oh,
But it's just a guy like opening packs in front of a camera and being like, Kabuto, PG. And I'm just like sitting there just watching. And I'm like, oh. And I watched, before I knew it, I had just watched like 15 minutes of just somebody opening up cards.
See?
And I was just getting all the memories back.
And see, that's why I'm scared before we get into Detective Pikachu. That's why I'm scared of even touching the cards now, because
I was this close to just being like, let me just buy a pack just so I can see, like, and then I was like, nope, if I do that,
it's going to open up a can of worms.
I was like talking to myself and I was like, you're not going to play.
No.
You're not going to play. You just want to do it so you can open up cards.
Exactly.
And see what you get.
Exactly. So on that note, I was at, you know, we were at Best Buy, and I was just sitting there, and I was watching the shipper.
I even checked our price, and I was like,
oh,
it would only be like
$3.
And then I was like,
okay.
But then you're going to open it, and you're going to be like, oh, you didn't get a holographic, so you're going to go buy another one. I was like,
yes.
And I was like, just stop. I was like, that's a coffee.
Yes, exactly.
Be a grown up.
So I saw that, and I was like, all right, whatever. And now, if you went to Alamo gave you a pack of Detective Pikachu Pokemon cards, and I'm scared to open it because I know if I open it, I'm gonna go look at them and be like, damn, I didn't get what I want, and I'm gonna go right to Best Buy and go buy some more. So thank you, Alamo, for feeding my addiction for collecting cards. That's But yeah, that was pretty interesting that they did that for Alamo. And yeah, it was pretty cool. I enjoyed that part about it. Just having the nostalgia of Pokemon was pretty cool. Yeah. And speaking of that, we had a whole bunch of nostalgia for the Pokemon Detective Pikachu before we jump into that. I really enjoyed that, by the way.
I did, both with the music and just the scenery and the different looks of everything.
It's yes.
Definitely gave you a little taste of, like, original Pokemon. They even mention one of the, or the original region, they mentioned that.
Yeah, the original Kanto, yeah.
So, no, it was very good. Anything else for just memories of Pokemon?
The only thing I will say is, again, showing my age, the first Pokemon game I bought myself, not one that my mom gave me or anything like that, was Pokemon Emerald, with Rayquaza, Kyogre, and Groudon. That was my very first Pokemon game, and I remember I clocked in last time I opened up that cartridge, and I don't even have it anymore due to a hurricane, and Hurricane Harvey 2 years ago. I clocked in about 83 hours on that game. And I still have my original Pokemon. Almost every Pokemon I've had was at 100. Swampert was, Rayquaza was, Kyogre, Groudon, and a couple of others. But yeah, that was my game. That was my favorite game because it had every older Pokemon with the brand new ones, and they did a really well job with it. I think that's my favorite Pokemon game. But yeah, that's one of my memories I like to talk about. What about you?
I mean, same. Just for me, though, it'll always go back to, for me, it was Blue and then Leaf Green.
Yeah, okay.
Because my best friend, like, still to this day, like, usually he always gets first pick of which one, and then I just get whichever is
the opposite
supplement.
Yeah.
So he was always, like, Red and then Fire Red, so I was Blue and then Leaf Green. And then, same thing, he was Heart Gold, and I was Soul Silver, or okay. First Gold and Silver, and then when they re-released him, Heart Gold, Soul Silver. And then he was, the Antler one was X, yeah.
And yeah, Antler was X and you was Y. So then, real quick before we jump into the movie, did y'all all pick a different starter Pokemon too, or did y'all
decide? No, what we would do is we would always start at the same time.
Okay.
But then one of us would basically be the guinea pig. So what I would do, and we would trade off. So it wasn't like it was always one of us. So whoever was decided would be like the person who was going to have to always just restart your game. Basically,
okay.
Start, get a different Pokemon, immediately trade it,
and then start again, trade it,
and then once you have it to where all of the starters are there, and you like that guy has basically one of each for himself and then two other ones to trade back to me, then I would start with whichever the third starter would be, and then he would trade those two back to me so that we could each start the game with all three starters.
Okay, that's smart.
And that's
okay.
How we've always done it.
That's actually smart.
Actually, X and Y we didn't, because we were both working, because this was the last one that we actually played now that we're both, like, adulting and, like, working living all the life. Time.
Yeah.
We both just went right in and just started playing. And then I was just like, yeah, I started with, you know, so-and-so. And then, but who was, in the original, who was your starter?
It was always Blastoise. It was always Squirtle.
Squirtle? I was a Charmander.
The only reason why, because my brother always picked Charmander, and I didn't want to be like him, so I've always picked up Bulbasaur. I always liked the turtle. I mean, not Bulbasaur. Ooh, Lord.
Squirtle.
What am I talking about? No, I never...
You can find out a lot about somebody if they say their starter was Bulbasaur.
What? I don't know.
Bulbasaur was the weakest starter.
The weakest one out of all of them. And if you were able to finish red or blue with Bulbasaur as your starter, kudos to you. Because
well, I mean, he was good once you got him leveled up, but he was
in the first two starters. Right, in the first two gyms, God be with you when you were dealing with Misty and Brock. Like, Brock, especially with the steel types, would destroy you if you weren't at least...
Well, Brock, if you had Squirtle, was easy.
Right, Squirtle was easy, but then Misty was your biggest problem when you had Charizard. But that
usually
was
Misty. By the time you get to Misty, though, you would have like a Pikachu. Pikachu,
exactly. But that's what I'm saying with like Bulbasaur. You were a trooper if you picked Bulbasaur as your first starter Pokemon.
Because yeah, even by the time you got to Misty, usually you didn't have any Grass type moves that did any damage. You might have had like
maybe Vine
Leech
Whip.
Seed.
Leech Seed. Yeah, you know, it was Leech Seed,
which didn't. Not much damage anyways. Anyways, here we go. Talking about... Oh, what I was saying about, like, those people who have been... Like, I was talking about the guys, like, unwrapping the cards. There are people who have never stopped being Pokemon. Like, hardcore.
Yeah.
Like, there are people my age who like,
still
have their cards and everything from back when they were, like, 10, 13, and still have, like, all this stuff. And I was like, man... You must have been a trooper in high school and college, man.
I couldn't have done it.
To put it in perspective, when I was in high school and college, it was not cool to be a Star Wars fan or a comic book fan or any of that.
Middle school, it was that way for me. Like, literally, you could not go to school talking about Star Wars, or you couldn't go to school talking about Pokemon or anything like that. The only things you could talk about was the new rated R movies that your parents let you go watch. Or, like, all those, like, Madden games or anything like that. Because you could not... If you weren't talking about sports, you were a problem.
Well, I even remember there was an anime club. And I remember I showed up to, like, two meetings. And the people who were in that club were like, why are you here? Because I was an athlete.
Okay. That makes sense. And that's why I stayed away from talking about stuff like that when I was in middle school and high school. And now that I'm in college, I'm like, I don't care anymore. It's my life. I love talking about movies, Pokemon, things like that, anime. So, yeah, that's why it's really cool to see the resurgence of Pokemon. Actually, the resurgence of a lot of things has been
in our childhood. Well, I mean, like, now it's not, like, to... That's why you see Pokemon and Star Wars and Power Rangers and all that stuff at places like... Hot Topic and Target and FYE, because now, like, it's trendy and cool to be like, hey, I'm representing, like, 90s stuff that was cool when I was a kid. So,
it's gonna be pretty
either way, I was like, man, to go through all those years being a hardcore Pokemon fan, you've got stuffed Charmanders in your room. You're like a 30-year-old man. You got stuffed Charmanders and Pikachus and all this stuff in your room. I mean, kudos to you, sir.
No, we had a middle... He had to be about 37, 38. We had a dude in a Pikachu onesie in my theater. I was like, kudos to you. I couldn't have done that, but all right, kudos.
I mean, I got a Batman onesie, but I don't even wear that outside the house.
I
wouldn't
wear it outside the house, though. And he literally wore it, onesie and everything, in the seat watching it. I was like, okay.
Okay, man. You do you, people.
Yeah.
Speaking of... you do use and choosing use Detective Pikachu. So, overall thoughts on the movie?
Maybe second, maybe the best video game movie we have. Video game adaptation.
It's definitely up there.
I would say Mortal Kombat and Pokemon Detective Pikachu is a toss-up for me. But yes, I really enjoyed Detective Pikachu. I really enjoyed the theme, even though the story was predictable, which that's not the issue here. It's just the feel good, the story getting up to the point B where you understand the story, what's going on. It was really heartfelt. I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. I enjoyed it. And the CGI, I will say that. Kudos to you. I never would have thought the CGI would look as well as it did, and it looked fantastic for every Pokemon. Even people were saying creepy Mr. Mime. I mean, Mr. Mime is supposed to be creepy, so it is what it is. But literally, the jokes... Not all of them fell flat. Most of them were really well done. Ryan Reynolds did a phenomenal job. And, yeah, overall, I really enjoyed Detective Pikachu. Really did. What about you?
No, I mean, I really enjoyed the nostalgia. I really didn't think... I thought I was going to really hate Ryan Reynolds.
I thought so, too.
But I ended up enjoying it. I thought it had some heart. I thought there were portions in, like, the late... middle of the movie towards the climax that were kind of cringy, and I was like, he kind of got away from what was making it a Pokemon movie.
Yep.
And just kind of made it just another, like, I don't know, like YA, you know, and you just had Pokemon there, but it was just another, like, YA movie for a little bit.
It felt like that for, like, 15, 20 minutes. And,
yeah.
And one thing that I will say, though, is even though Justice Smith didn't do that much, he did a really good job as just playing as somebody who's just going through the motions, and having a talking Pikachu that he could completely understand. Mm-hmm. And how they did, speaking of which, how they did the whole Detective Pikachu idea was really well done. I didn't expect it to be done in a way that they did it. I do have my questions, but other than that, yeah, it was really well done. I didn't expect it to be the way it did.
No, yeah, definitely. I thought it was going to be kind of cringy. I'm not familiar with that game, because I know it's a game, but I didn't even know that until somebody said something about how this movie's based on a game, and so that was news to me. Because I know they do a bunch of different spin-off Pokemon games, like Puzzle and all that, but I never played
any of those. I never played them. And I never played Detective Pikachu, just letting that be known, too.
But, I really enjoyed it. I really liked the opening. It was almost a callback to the original Pokemon movie.
Yes, Pokemon, the first movie, yes.
No spoilers yet, even though we all know Mewtwo's in the movie based on the trailer, which... When I saw the trailer, I was like, oh, why would you spoil that? But Mewtwo's actually a pretty big part of the movie, so it's not like it was like, oh, like that was like the big reveal. No, it's not. So it's not a spoiler that they showed that in the trailer at all.
We'll talk about that in spoilers part, because I like the idea that they brought Mewtwo in it, but then at the same time, they kind of... Redcon themselves, which I will get to in the spoiler territory. I was confused about it. But other than that, one thing I will say about Ryan Reynolds, though, I feel like I almost thought he would do what Mike Myers did to Cat in the Hat. Destroy it with making unnecessary, very adult-themed jokes. Granted, he does make some innuendos in there every once in a while, but he did a phenomenal job keeping it very PG. Mm-hmm. And I was excited that, wow, this isn't going to be a terrible disaster like Mike Myers and Cat in the Hat. Okay, cool. I really enjoy this. And so, yeah, I like that. And then what else did I enjoy about this movie?
I thought the actual, like, effects were really cool.
Yes.
Like, the way that they would actually fight, or they would use their different moves.
Yeah.
Things like that I thought were really neat. I thought the Pokeball, for what we got of it.
Yeah.
Was really cool looking. I thought I won't get into until spoilers, but overall I thought it had a lot of heart. I did think that the villain was meh.
Like I said, mediocre, predictable. Yes.
A lot of this movie, like within 20 minutes, I kind of figured out, and then so I spent the better part of like a lot of the scenes, I was like, please not be this. Please be something different. Please surprise me. But it didn't. But it's okay. Like, it was fun. Yeah. Would I watch it again?
Sure.
Sure. I'm not going to buy it, but if it's, like, mm-hmm. on streaming or something, I'd probably be like, oh, Detective Pikachu, and watch it or whatever.
It's like, oh,
have
cool.
it playing while I'm, like, cooking or doing laundry.
Exactly. It's going to be one of those background movies I was saying. It's really...
If one of the, like, cool action scenes or something happens to go on, I'll, like, stop and, like, watch it, but I won't actually be, like, you know, just sitting down
there
in front
watching
of the TV
it.
Or anything like that.
No. But I would say it was an experience to understand. Like, if you're a huge Pokemon fan... If you're an old or new Pokemon fan, this is a movie for you. It was really well done. I couldn't say that for a while because a lot of the Pokemon movies that came out were just awful. But at least this one, I sat there and watched it, and I was really in awe of how well they meshed both old and new fans together. And they make a couple of references to the original Pokemon fans, which I enjoyed, which we won't get into until spoiler territory. So I enjoyed that much, and they really did a great mixture of doing the different region Pokemon, because I didn't expect them to do that many different regions in this film, and they did a phenomenal job of putting that all together.
Yeah, I will say, like, again, part of my disappointment with part of it was they kind of got away from that land, and then, like, when they took them to that one area, and then all of a sudden, like, it was like, you took away, like, that, I don't know, that heart of that Pokemon, like, being in that land and everything by making it all about this lab or whatever, which, again, you see in the trailer.
So, that was it. But before we jump into spoilers, I'm trying to think, is there anything else I'd like to say in general?
I mean, the Pokemons are Pokemon are adorable. Absolutely. They're all adorable. Cute. Like, all of them. I was kind of worried about a few of them. Like, oh, Mr. Mime is not adorable. But he never was. Funny. That's what I was like. But no, he was funny.
He was funny. That whole scene was amazing.
It was hilarious.
It was hilarious. But there was a point, this is the only spoiler I'm going to give you on this part, is when something happens and somebody's like, you know, I had to do a survey where, you know, there's all, like, was this top 10 cute Pokemon? They're all cute. And I was yeah, absolutely right. I was literally thinking while we were watching it, and I was like, oh my gosh. You know, I think you're a weak Pokemon, Bulbasaur, but if I could, I'd capture one or two of y'all, because y'all are really adorable right now. That was my thought about it. It was really cool. Yeah.
All right, then. Getting into spoiler talk here. So if you haven't seen it, go see it, come back. Or if you don't care about spoilers, listen on and we'll tell you what we think with some spoiler talk in there. Like, not all the spoiler. I didn't want to say any spoilers, not due to the spoilers, because a big portion of the spoilers don't affect the plot at all. Just there's scenes in the movie.
Very nostalgic.
Yeah, that if you spoil it for you, then it wouldn't give you that same impact. Like, the use of the original song, not once, but twice.
Twice, yes. Yes, twice. Once in when...
The newsroom
where basically the son and the father who owns this company,
they're
Howard...
They're just playing, like, the background.
They're playing it in the background, and it's literally the background theme music of it. And I was like, okay. And then when Detective Pikachu is basically walked away from Justice Smith, and he's all sad, and he's singing the entire, like, not the entire song, but he's singing the first stanza, and he's just going, I want to be the therapy best. And he starts crying. I'm sitting there laughing because it's like, wow, okay. All right, this is canon. Cool. And the only other thing is like you said, even though the first scene plays exactly how, like, the Pokemon, the first Mewtwo Strikes Back plays, where he's in his tomb.
I kept thinking, are they going to show... Because they say, like, he, like, broke out after he was captured in the Kanto region 20 years ago, which exactly. is when the first Pokemon movie came out.
So that was going to be my next question. So
is Ash, like, 30 years old now?
So I was going to ask this. So I was like, so Harry, who is his, basically... I keep forgetting Justice Smith's name in the movie. But Harry caught Mewtwo... How in the hell did he catch Mewtwo? I don't know. But yeah, Mewtwo has been walking around for 20 plus years. So which means, I guess the Pokemon movies are canon now, I guess. So I'm kind of like, okay, all right. I guess that's how we're going to do things now. But I was pretty dope that they referenced the original first movie that way. And they did a little nugget of Ash, even though I wouldn't consider it that. But when Justice was running into Ryan Smith for the first time, they had a guy in a red jacket with a red hat and everything mm-hmm. and throwing a Pokeball. And I was like, oh, is that supposed to be Ash or is that
red?
Right. I was like, is that red or Ash? Whichever. But yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, that, the opening scene with him with the Pokeball, with the Cubone, I was like, okay, this is a real cool way to, like, set up this world, how it works. In terms of, like, the way they roam free and, like, you gotta get a partner and then his friend, who's Depender from the Deadpool movies, is trying to get him to catch this Cubone. And so I was like, okay, that makes more sense. And, like, if the Pokemon breaks free after you try to catch it, it wouldn't just run away like it does in the games. It would probably attack you. And so I thought that was cool. And then we shift all of a sudden to this city where there is no, like, the whole part of Pokemon was always catching them and then making them fight. And then we transition immediately to this city where there is no fighting or catching. You have your partner.
You have a partner, and y'all live in a harmonious relationship. Yes. I thought that was...
And the Pokemon have jobs.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty an interesting take. I heard that some of that aspect came from Detective Pikachu's game. And I like the idea where, you know, we're not battling Pokemon here, even though they have an underground battle arena. But it was more about, hey, we're here. We love our Pokemon. We don't want them to fight. We want them to be part of our lives. And so it was pretty interesting how Snorlax was sitting on the street just sleeping and everybody's just driving around him.
Oh, yeah, and you had the Machamp directing traffic.
Traffic, yes. I thought that was pretty cool. I thought that was an interesting dynamic instead of just battling the entire movie.
Well, I think that helped transition it to live action better.
Yeah.
Because if you would have tried to do, like, an intro into a live action Pokemon movie where it was just Red or Ash and then Gary or Blue, and it was just them as rivals trying to catch them all and go to these gym battles, outside of like the hardcore Pokemon fans,
most of the fans wouldn't have caught that. Yeah.
Yeah, here you had Ryan Reynolds and being the Pikachu, which I don't know, but anybody who's under the age of like 12 or 13 who didn't figure out who Detective Pikachu was within the first 30 minutes, because I figured it out way too early, and I was like,
That was his dad?
And I was like, please don't be his dad. I just kept thinking in my head, please don't be, please, because like they showed the bad guy who was pretending to be the good guy. I was like, oh, this guy's bad, and he's faking it. He's showing them fake footage, and I was like, I bet you Mewtwo was trying to help him, and he did something to where he psychically put his dad's mind in the Pikachu. And I was like, I hope that's not what it is.
And it was.
And it was.
So on that note, and this is, I guess, something that I'm scratching my head about. I get that you don't see your dad often. I get that you haven't seen him in a while.
Dad's voice is the same as it ever was.
Thank you. How do you not know how your dad sounds? I don't get it. How do you not know that when your dad starts talking, you're like, Dad? But I guess because you need to keep the suspense. You need to keep us, like, in there. But, yeah, I thought that was literally, like, a head-scratcher. Just, okay. All right, guys. That's fine. We're going to pretend like Justice doesn't know what his dad sounds like. Okay, cool. Fine. But, yeah, that's one of my biggest gripes about the movie. I thought that was just, like, what the hell?
Like, I really liked the relationship with them, but I would have preferred it if it would have been like, oh, yeah, your dad was dead. Your dad was dead, but now you can live on through him because now you're partners with the Pokemon that was his partner.
Exactly, instead of the way where they did it, where Mewtwo says, okay, you know, you did this for me, now I'm going to give you your dad back, and his Pikachu is now perfectly fine, probably doesn't know what the hell happened, and Harry, who is Ryan Reynolds, looks like a very well, like, detective. He just, you know, he just talks about life and things like that, and he's like, okay, I get the tone difference, but I'd have liked it better if Detective Pikachu would have just stayed his partner, and then we probably would have gotten a sequel, but, you know, whatever. But, yeah, that's my biggest gripe about it.
Yeah, I mean, my biggest gripe is, like I said in the non-spoiler section, that middle portion where they go to the lab. Granted, the Greninjas were cool.
Yeah.
I like the Greninjas. They made it kind of creepy with them crawling out of the tubes or whatever they were doing. And then they were, you know, throwing the little water stars and everything. I thought that was cool, but I just didn't like that it was like, okay, we're going to go to this lab. We're going to break in. There's nobody there.
And we're going to dump all this exposition on you that quickly.
Dump all this exposition via, not just through their little, like, virtual camera system, but then, you know, less than 10, 15 minutes later, now we're going to drop a psychic video of exposition via Mewtwo, where he's going to give you exposition. So within, like, a 20-minute period, we got, like,
two exposition stories.
Yeah. And it was like, it was that on top of, we're just on this random island, which turns out to be giant Pokemon that these people made, and we got away from the cool part, which was the different regions, seeing the Pokemon with the people, and all of that stuff.
And I felt like that was the slowest part of the film. That was the slowest part of the movie. And I was just sitting there, okay, can we hurry it up now? Can we please hurry it up? Now, granted, we did get a great part where basically Justice goes, takes Pikachu and tries to heal him. Bulbasaur and them takes him to Mewtwo. And Mewtwo basically tries to tell him the whole story. And then, you know, Evil Dad basically takes control over him and things like that. Oh, also, what did you think of the Ditto basically acting like the sun the entire time? What, how did you feel about Ditto being like the evil Pokemon?
The main thing, I actually liked the Ditto.
I did too.
I liked the Ditto. The only thing was, for the longest time, when I saw the chick that kept showing up with like the pink hair, I kept thinking like, oh, Team Rocket, that's Jesse.
I was thinking that too. I'm not gonna lie.
And then found out it was the Ditto, and I was like, okay, that's cool. I like the Ditto. Didn't like the whole thing with like the dad and then the son and all that. Like, you had Bill Nye playing the crippled man who loves Pokemon. He wants to like evolve humans.
Yeah,
I'm gonna evolve y'all by putting y'all in a Pokemon body.
I mean, I don't know how that evolutionized people, but all right, maybe because you can get legs now. Cool, you can get a Mewtwo, but really, bro, putting all of us in a Pokemon.
And then that whole thing with like, okay, the plot device is the headset. Justice Smith's character Tim was in the same room as him with the headset since the jump. So
why didn't he just take it off? I don't know. Like I said, it's a great video game movie. Is it a great movie? I would say no. It's something I would maybe watch in passing.
And the cool thing is, I actually enjoyed the parts early on with like Pikachu not being able to know how to use his powers or whatever.
Yes.
But then once he finally started using them, he only used it like twice.
Volt Tackle and Thunderbolt, I want to say. Was it Thunderbolt?
Is that what it's called, where he threw the ball of electricity? Because that's what he did. He threw the ball. Oh,
it was Thunderbolt. It was Thunderbolt then. Yeah, it was Thunderbolt and then Volt Tackle. Which, okay. All right. Yeah, Volt Tackle is his most powerful.
Well, and it was a really dumb line where the guy, while he's in Mewtwo's body, is like, something, 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 a Pikachu can't defeat a Mewtwo.
And I was like, oh, God.
Yeah.
All right, people. That was a head scratcher. What I did like, though, is how they gave you the whole Psyduck thing, like how it was in the TV show. If Psyduck gets too
stressed out,
he's like he does a confusion wave or a confusion bomb, a seismic wave, and I was like, ah, okay, I like that. I like that. Only thing was, I had to get used to whoever voiced Psyduck, because I remember the Psyduck. How he sounded, and now this Psyduck was just a little different for me. Yeah. I had to get used to it, but other than that, it was
And that cool. brings me to the Bulbasaurs.
Okay.
The Bulbasaurs didn't even say Bulbasaur.
No, they didn't.
Were doing was making little chirp sounds.
Now. Yep.
The Squirtles and the Charmanders were talking just fine.
Yeah, Charmander said his name multiple times, and Squirtle said his name. And
Squirtles, while they were with the firefighters, were just like, Squirtle, 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 Squirtle. Or the other funny part, when he cleaned up the floor in the studio, where the squirrel just comes out after they're finished taping, and he just walks out there and starts watering down the floor.
Yeah. Yeah, like moments like that where you're like, okay, cool.
And like, I get Charizard, because Charizard never says anything. Neither does, like, Blastoise.
Blastoise, no. And Gengar, I was mad that they didn't, like, Gengar didn't say Gengar at all either in the battle arena. I'm just sitting there, really? We're just going to pretend Gengar doesn't say anything? Which, special effects for Gengar, when they were battling, when him and Blastoise were battling each other, I was like, wow. Okay, I can see Gengar doing this in a battle, but where's his voice? Where's his sound? Nowhere? Okay, fine. Whatever. And I liked how they showed how when basically they gave him that little R formula, how the Pokemon would just go crazy. I thought that was pretty dope. Especially how the Apoms just went batshit crazy when when Justice accidentally released that chemical outside of his dad's apartment. Yeah, I thought that was pretty cool.
And that was cool. And then the Magikarp into the
Gyarados. You just got to give it a little kick. Yeah. And it turns into a Gyarados. I was like, yeah, okay. And Gyarados looked really cool. I didn't think they would do a Gyarados, but yeah, Gyarados.
I think the sizes were about right.
Yeah, like they were
the Pokemon about right. Were all about the correct size. Because Charizard's supposed to only be about the size of like a grown man.
Grown man, but like maybe a man and a half if you were like 7 or 8 feet tall. Blastoise is a little shorter than him. Gyarados was as big as he's supposed to be. Greninja's, basically you're right, everybody, and then Mewtwo's supposed to be like almost the size of a human, but maybe a foot taller, and they did a well job with that. So yeah, everybody's sizes were about fairly accurate.
They also did plenty of comments on the fact of Pikachu always like sitting on shoulders.
Yes,
like how annoying that is.
And like he's always on his twos. I was like, yeah, that, I mean, that's
But he was also making a joke of it. It's like, oh, like, for every one step you take, I have to take 1,000.
Yeah, Ryan did a really well job of showing what Pikachu is. I really did enjoy that. I really did. There's something else. The love interest thing, whatever.
Yeah, that was worthless outside of Ryan Reynolds basically trying to give him advice and then just telling him how pointless he is on love.
Love. I thought that was fun. I thought that was actually very funny. No, that's pretty much it. That's pretty the big things that I liked about the movie. Basically, CGI was great. The music was good.
I wish we would have had more of Ken Watanabe.
Yes.
With we his only got, Snubble.
We only got like two and a half scenes with him.
Maybe.
And that Snubble, oh, seeing him with Justice... I was like, yes, that's exactly how
and I thought Snuggle like, would be. And then we try to tell him, like, he's not mad at you, or he's not, he's, and then he tries to pet him, and even the Snubble is looking at him all messed up, giving yes. him the crazy face.
I thought that was amazing. Literally, I thought that was a really good, I thought that was a really good scene to show how Snuggle is just, like, almost like a cat in itself. Like, I don't want to be bothered unless I want to be bothered. And then when Justice left, he's like, okay, now you can pet me if you want. Yeah, thought that was really
cool. On a worthless Pokemon being in there, which I'm not a big Eevee fan, but...
How they had Eevee turn to a Flareon? They had Eevee,
like, randomly in that dude's office just standing there until he's like, okay, he's here. Now I'm going to evolve you.
Yeah, and then I'm evolving into a Flareon. And then
just jump away.
I'm like, okay, well, what was the point?
That was not even, like, fan service.
No, it wasn't.
Because it was like, okay, you give... Because I know there are a lot of people where that's, like, their favorite Pokemon is Eevee. And it's like, okay, we're going to show you an Eevee, evolve him, and then he's just going to walk off and have no other
plan. Anything else. Literally anything else. And I was... I sat there
and they show that in the trailer, too. The Eevee's in the trailer.
But... And that's why I was like, okay, we're showing an evolution of Eevee. Okay. All right. Fine, whatever. Other than that, yeah, I think that's the only other things that I discussed. There's nothing else that I really thought was a problem. Just the story was too predictable. I didn't get how Justice didn't know that who was his dad.
The effects were good. The Pokemon looked good.
Please, Paramount, hire whoever did Warner Brothers Detective Pikachu and just hire them to come do Sonic, because Lord knows y'all need help.
And they played that before I saw it.
It was so
It was even worse on the big screen.
It was so terrible.
And what was crazy is as soon as like the opening, like the Paramount with the rings came, everybody in the theater was like, oh no.
We had one person go, ooh, I'm so ready for Jim Carrey to be Dr. Robotnik. Everybody was like, the fuck? That's literally what somebody said at the pause of the trailer. I was like, the fuck? And yeah, Paramount, please hire whoever did the special effects for Detective Pikachu, because y'all need help. Y'all need help. But other than that, yeah, the movie was really well done. I would give it about maybe a 3.
Yeah, I would say 2.5, 3, somewhere in between there.
Yeah, I would say if you're a Pokemon fan, watch it.
If you're a Pokemon fan, I mean, anybody who's like a big or even just a fan of Pokemon.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, there's plenty in it. That's why I was so, like, kind of dancing around anything I thought could be, like, not even spoiler to the plot, but just spoiler in that, like,
nostalgia.
It's cool to see, yes. Like, something you grow up on in live action. So that's why I know we were kind of skittish around the non-spoiler review, but it kind of, I felt like that was necessary for anybody who is a fan, who has ever been a fan. It's definitely worth a watch.
Definitely worth the watch. I definitely recommend it. Is it a movie that I'll probably buy on Blu-ray or DVD? Maybe not. Maybe not. But it definitely was a movie worth watching, and I definitely could say I enjoyed it. I really did enjoy it. But other than that, is there anything else you wanted to close out on, Johnny?
Nope. That's it for today.
Okay. Well, where can the kids find you then?
You can find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Letterboxd this year. I've definitely been a lot more active on Letterboxd. So you can find me at Johnny the Wonder on those platforms. And what about you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Julian V. Owens. Yeah, I'm just logging movies on Letterboxd, so you don't need mine. But definitely look at Johnny's. Johnny has some very great insights on reviews and things of that nature. So definitely take a look at his Letterboxd if you don't know what that is. That's basically like a cinemaphile's like log of and review place where we go and sit there and log movies and stuff like that. So if you definitely want to look at what Johnny has to say on certain movies, I liked his review on Endgame. I liked his review on that Ted Bundy Netflix film. He has an
extremely wicked,
vile and dangerous. Yeah,
that shockingly evil and vile.
Yeah, I enjoyed all his reviews, so definitely go take a look at that. And I really enjoyed those.
Yeah,
so.
I try to give him to like one or two sentences, just like really quick,
spot on. Like, hey, this is what you need to know about the movie. So definitely take a look at that when you guys get a chance. But other than that, I think that's pretty much it, guys.
All right, we'll see y'all in another 2 weeks. What are we going to talk about? 2 weeks. John Wick.
John Wick, maybe. Yeah, John Wick. And if you want to, Aladdin comes out the weekend before.
Maybe. Maybe.
Oh, and also, so you guys know, stay tuned for a little special episode about a Netflix movie that I thought was really good, and I wanted some insight on it. So stay tuned for that later this week, I think, at least the week or next week. But, yeah, and we'll find out what movie we're talking about, because I don't know if I'm down to want to talk about Aladdin. I don't think so. But from all of us here, guys, thanks for joining us. Catch y'all next one.
Later.